This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinct designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Marcus Smart talks about his shot selection. Evan Turner talks about joining the Celtics. And the commissioner talks about marijuana in the NBA. And I'm going to talk about it right here on a Tuesday Locked On Celtics. Miller, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, I'm John Corrales here, host of the Locked On Celtics podcast, and I am a beat reporter covering the Boston Celtics on a daily basis, giving you a daily podcast Monday through Friday. So if you are a new listener, welcome aboard. Hope you enjoy the show. You're going to get Monday through Friday episodes, except for this week because of Christmas. What I'm going to do, still 5 podcasts this week, but because Christmas is on Friday and the Celtics play on Friday, I will not do a podcast recording on Christmas Eve, so Friday there won't be a new show, but there will be a new one after the game on Friday. So really Friday night, Saturday, you'll get a new podcast. So all of you regular listeners who get your Monday through Friday fix, that's the new schedule for this week. In today's show, segment one, after Chuck and I talked about Marcus Smart's shot selection in detail yesterday, Marcus Smart is available to the media on Monday and talks about his shot selection. Also, Evan Turner surprised everybody by giving us a surprise media availability, a little bit on Evan Turner coming up. And the commissioner held his annual preseason, pre-beginning of the season media conference call. I was in on that and a couple of interesting points there about expansion and marijuana, which they're not testing for this year. And I'll talk about that in segment three. But got to start the show with, it was so interesting to hear Marcus Smart talk about the shot selection and Brad Stevens talk about Marcus's shot selection. Because when Chuck and I were doing yesterday's podcast, half of it was about Marcus Smart's shot selection. And that's like one of the big storylines out of the playoffs and in the preseason. So we sit here talking about, and not to rehash everything from yesterday, but talking about the shots that he takes, sometimes that quick trigger attitude, sometimes that feeling that he needs to carry the offense, so he's going to shoot. That is something that is pervasive throughout his career. Like, he always feels like that ultra confidence that he has is something that is both the blessing and curse, like I said yesterday. So one thing that stuck out was Brad Stevens saying, when he was asked about Marcus Smart, he said, in part, guys are going to have nights when they make shots and don't make shots. And if they're wide open, inside-out shots, you have to shoot those. Okay, so what he's saying there is the drive and the kick. So if it's open, Brad Stevens says shoot it. Now, yesterday I was telling Chuck, look, if that opportunity comes up on 18 seconds on the shot clock, I personally would like to see a second drive. I'd like to see another attack. I'd like to see the defense have to work a little bit longer. You know, make them work, wear them out, try to draw fouls, try to put them in the penalty. Again, we're looking at what's the best thing to do to help your team. Marcus Smart drives, draws a foul, one step closer to the penalty. Well, if you get them in the penalty with, you know, sometimes, you know, at the 7-8 minute mark, you now have 4 minutes potentially of every foul being free throws. So while Marcus Smart doesn't get an assist for all of those, he kind of sort of does, because if he's drawing a foul or two and helps the Celtics get into that penalty a little bit quicker, then when whoever, you know, maybe Peyton Pritchard drives and gets to the line and scores a couple at the free throw line. Maybe Jeff Teague gets fouled and gets a couple of trips to the free throw line. If you can add 4 or 5 points in a quarter just off the penalty, that's 5 points that potentially you might not have had. So add that up. You've got potentially 16 points, 15 points, 12 points, 10 points, whatever it is, anything you can get in the penalty helps. So I want these guys to drive. I want these guys to draw these fouls if they can. But at the same time, the three-point shot is an efficient shot. You get a good, clean, open look. That's something that you're looking for. So I guess one thing that's coming out of this is I just have to accept that if it the Celtics come down in transition and Jaylen Brown gets it and he gets into the middle of the lane and the defense collapses and he kicks it out and Marcus Smart, with 18 seconds on the shot clock, catches it wide open, he's going to take that shot. That's just going to happen, and I have to accept that that's going to happen more often than not. Meanwhile, Brad Stevens continues, and he says, at the same time, I think he can get everybody where they need to be. He's a much improved shooter, but he's also an outstanding playmaker. I've told him we've talked a lot about increasing the efficiency of our team, and his ability to make plays for others is a big part of that, putting guys in the right spots to soar with their strengths. Now, that's basically Brad saying what we've been saying. Like, yeah, okay, you can shoot. You're going to get clean looks. Okay, fine. If somebody drives and kicks and you get a wide open look, fine. But if you're just sidestepping or trying to force something, if you feel like heat check, here I am, I hit two in a row, let me take this heat check, maybe don't take the heat check. And this all goes into what Marcus Smart, his role on this team is right now, why he's such a leader. Because he is selfless, because he is looking to see how do we win. And in the theme of Saturday, when Brad Stevens basically pulled the Belichick and told everybody to do their jobs, this is one of his jobs, Marcus Smart. You can't be a gunner. Your job is to accentuate the talents of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. You are the third option. Okay, and when Kemba comes back, you're the fourth option. Your job is to run pick and roll, which you do brilliantly. I think Marcus Smart is a tremendous pick and roll ball handler. He is so good at navigating that. His timing is good. He is, I know defense is his primary function. Like, that's, we know Marcus Smart's crazy defense. Offensively, I have been for years saying Marcus Smart can pass. Probably if you search my Twitter for Marcus Smart can pass, I probably started that 4 years ago. Marcus Smart is a tremendous passer. So use that ability. Use that ability. And Brad Stevens saying it. So it's funny because I asked him later, say, you always say soar with your strengths, but what happens when your opinion of a player's strengths and the player's opinion on his strengths differ? And he gave a really long answer, but I thought it was a great answer. And it starts with him saying, I think self-awareness is a big part of being a great player. And it's certainly something that as you get older, you have an even greater feel for what you can do well in this league and what adds value to winning. And goes on and on and on. And then he tells a story about KG. People always talk about when Kevin Garnett was here. Obviously, I wasn't. But people always talk about when he came to the gym, he practiced hard, he worked hard. But his individual shooting routine, he went super hard, but it was super short. He had just figured it out what he did to impact winning on the offensive end and what he needed to work on every day. And it was just designed to not only work on it, but also make sure that he was ready every single day to give the most energy that he could. Basically, KG knew exactly who he was, knew exactly the shots that he was going to take, and he just worked on the shots that he was going to take. He didn't do unnecessary stuff. He came in and said, I'm going to work on this. I'm going to be here. These are the 3-4 things that I do on offense. This is what I need to do. This is honing my craft. So Marcus Smart is evolving. And this is part of the evolution. Now the question is the message going to get through? Because you can say things, but doing things is different. And you have habits. Now, Marcus Smart is going to take heat checks. Nothing in what was said today is going to lead any of us to believe that Marcus Smart is done with the heat checks. But calm down with him a little bit. Calm down with him a little bit. So when I look at game 1 against Milwaukee, game 2 against Brooklyn, Marcus Smart out there, now I want to see, back these words up. Because Marcus Smart said that he's working on his shot selection, you know. And he says, he dropped the, I averaged 4.8 assists in the bubble, one of the highest on the team. I'm just going to continue to make plays for others and creating for myself, but definitely running the show as a point guard and finding those guys. So you're saying it, Brad's saying it, everyone acknowledges it. Okay? Everything that we said yesterday on the podcast, everything that I'm saying now, everything that we're looking to, back it up. Because we all love Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart is, when we talk about captains of this team, like Marcus Smart should be the captain of the team and basically is, the way he's treated out there, the way people listen to him. Whether he's got a C on his jersey or not, he's basically the captain of the team. So, back it up. We know the defense is going to be awesome. We know that you're going to hit some shots. And no one is really saying stop shooting. The days of Marcus Smart sucks as a shooter, they're gone. But now we have to see the better shot selection, better playmaking, or more playmaking, because the playmaking is great. And I'll back it up. When I come back, Evan Turner hopped in front of the mic. Big shock in the media session. I'll talk a little bit about ET coming up next. Now I want to talk about BETs, bets. Betting on sports is hot right now. The NFL regular season is finishing up. Now we get a better look at the playoff picture. Basketball is back. Tuesday night is opening night. So if you want to bet on the NBA, you want to bet on these games, there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. So whatever you put in, you're going to get 50% with the promo code LOCKEDON on top of it. So basically winning your first bet by signing up and logging in to betonline.ag. Now, I'm not a big NFL guy, but I know NFL drives this, and you're going to want to bet on these playoff games. College football has plenty of opportunities to bet. And like I said, NBA, this is where I'm going to be looking at, getting into this a little bit, really trying to navigate the intricacies of this quick turnaround and how much certain guys are going to play and the rest and all of that stuff. And I'm going to go to betonline.ag. I'm not going to sit on the sidelines anymore. You shouldn't either. Get into the action. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. I'll get this welcome bonus. You'll get the welcome bonus. It's a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That's the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Hey,
Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. If you went into that break and went right to betonline.ag to create your account and get that 50% welcome bonus with the promo code Locked On, you're probably sitting there saying, wow, I could use some extra help here. So I'm going to give you a hot tip that can earn you some extra cash. We have a new podcast on the network, Locked On Bets. It's hosted by Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Lee is red hot to start the season, and he shares a lock of the day on every episode. So go ahead and subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast today, wherever you found this podcast. So Evan Turner, it was funny. We do all of our media availabilities through Zoom. And so I'm sitting here at my computer in my office waiting for, like, Brad Stevens had just spoken. And Marcus Smart and Tremont Waters are up next. Okay, trying to think of questions for Marcus Smart and Tremont. All of a sudden, Evan Turner slides into the seat. And PR was like, oh, okay, I guess we've got a bonus Evan Turner availability today. Questions for Evan Turner. So all of a sudden, it's funny, when we're on the Zoom and you have, like, the participants on the right-hand side, and you have to raise your hands to ask a question, a little blue hand pops up. Evan Turner sits down, and all of a sudden, a bunch of blue hands start popping up. Everybody's dying. I gotta get Evan Turner a question because he's a great quote. We played it a little straight because, you know, he's an assistant coach now. So we wanted to know a little bit about the process and everything. The first thing that I think of is where he says, I trust the hell out of Brad. So Evan Turner clearly was kind of on the fence. He wanted to come back, but I don't think the opportunity was out there. He says he always wanted to coach or look into it, maybe look into maybe a front office position. And so the Celtics came along. The Celtics had a spot open. Carol Lawson was one of the assistant coaches, and she obviously left to go be the Duke women's basketball head coach. And so the Celtics were looking for that position. And I had talked about it. I thought getting a former player would be a great type of direction to go, and that's what they did. They saw the same thing, that someone with NBA experience on this staff was really, really important. You look at up and down the staff, they have some guys that were really good at basketball. Hell, still are really good at basketball. But, you know, they're not NBA players. They've been high-level European players, but it's different in the NBA. So getting Evan Turner, I think, really addresses that. And he even said, here's his quote, I think it's super beneficial. Obviously, I'm not saying this because it's me, but everybody likes comfort and everybody likes familiarity. If I wasn't Evan and I was another retired player, I think those guys would be comfortable and feel they're excited in a sense to really learn and have another coach who's played in the NBA. That is the impact that I was looking for. And to have a guy that they can relate to on the coaching staff, because now I know as a player, all right, if I'm a player in that locker room, I can go to Evan and say, look, this is what I think. This is what I'm going through. And I know he gets it. Think about the path that Evan Turner has taken. Number 2 overall pick, big expectations. He doesn't live up to those expectations. Then his career starts becoming like a journeyman. And then he comes to Boston and resurrects his career. I mean, he had that time in Indy, which was horrible. Comes to Boston. Brad Stevens figures out a creative way to use him. Gets him a monster contract to go to Portland. And then things, you know, his career just comes to an end after a while. But he's been through trades. He's been through being cut. He's been through getting back on top of things, getting that big contract, playing for that big contract, all of it. So he knows. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to have the money and have people come up and be like, hey, you got money now. I want to be your friend. So he can bluntly tell these guys what it's like. Maybe some of these guys are looking for that big payday. And he can talk to players who might want something more. When we talk about guys doing their jobs, maybe some of these guys are trying to look for more than that. Maybe they feel like they're auditioning because they don't want to be here anymore. Maybe guys who are in the last year of their contract are have other concerns. So having a player on the staff, a former player on the staff, I think is huge. And the great thing about Evan Turner, when I asked him like, what is it like trying to relate to these guys now from this different perspective? Because as a coach, it's different. You can't just go into the locker room and be like, hey guys, what's going on? And just, be like a player. You're still a coach. There's a little bit of distance that you have to keep. And you still have to, if players are telling you something, you still have to go back to Brad Stevens. Not with everything. I'm not saying squeal, but I'm saying if there's a problem brewing, then Evan Turner has to be the guy, if he's relating to these players, he has to be the guy that goes to Brad and says, hey, I think there's a problem here. We've got to fix this problem. And so it's different for him. So I asked him, what was the difference? And he says, I'm not looking at it as like I'm a coach or whatever. I'm a human. They're humans. And you try to find the right type of ground to get through to them, not to like over talk. And he said, most importantly, earn their respect in order for them to have your ear. So, and this is a great line. Obviously, it's not always guaranteed that this person's a coach or that person's a coach and a player is going to listen. It takes time for me to get their respect. Just because the Celtics could hire me as a coach and I'm going to walk in there and they're going to be like, why did you hire this idiot? And I'm going to try to coach them up. They're not going to listen to me. They're going to probably tune me out unless I find a way to connect to them. And that's what Evan Turner does. Just because he's a former NBA player doesn't mean he gets to come in and take over and be like, oh yeah, I know everything. You know nothing here. Like, he has to find out where he fits and how he talks to these guys. It's a little bit of a learning curve for him, but I really like the way he's approaching it. It's funny. He called this like a super internship. I hope that this works out, and I hope that he sticks around a little bit. It's just great. They haven't had an NBA player since Walter McCarty a few years ago, and obviously not everybody on this team had that. So it's a good hire. I like the way he was talking. I think it's going to add a little something. When you look at the moves that Danny Ainge has made, Tristan Thompson, bringing in Evan Turner, those types of things are, I think, directly addressing some of the deficiencies from last year. And I think bringing those two in and, having Evan Turner there as a sounding board and a guy with recent NBA experience, that helps to maybe mitigate some of the spiraling that was happening during the playoffs. So, nice job. Everybody likes Evan Turner. Up next, the commissioner spoke about expansion and marijuana, and I'm fascinated by the approach, so I'm going to talk about it next. Built Bar is also something fascinating to me because it is a protein bar that's healthy and good for you, but it tastes like a candy bar that should be unhealthy and not good for you. But in there, 18 flavors, some with nuts, some without, so if you've got an allergy, you're cool. In those flavors that are covered in 100% chocolate, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. If you're on a keto diet, this works. So you can indulge and you can still lose weight or maintain weight if you're health conscious. If you're not health conscious, this is actually a nice little adjustment. You can still have one of these and you're still indulging and it's not as bad as something else you might eat. It's great. Like, when you get something called cookies and cream, that's indulging. That's decadent. But 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 net carbs? Really? You kidding me? It's great. You don't have to take my word for it. go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. If you just want to get one box to try it, doesn't matter. You can go back again, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. You can use it more than once, so use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Make sure you are checking out the Locked On NBA podcast feed today. You will find a season preview episode for each division with team breakdowns from local experts like me. I did the Celtics one. Waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts. Another reason to subscribe to Locked On NBA, I'm doing the Wednesday shows. Me, Jake Madison from Locked On Pelicans. So Tuesday night, tonight, the NBA is back. So Jake and I on Wednesday will have the full recaps of the two games, talking about those two games. So you get two podcasts from me tomorrow if you're subscribed to Locked On NBA. So the commissioner had his annual preseason media availability. One thing that I want to touch on, he mentioned the expansion. And he says, quote, I've always said this is sort of the manifest destiny of the league that you expand at some point. I don't think you should be using manifest destiny as the terminology there, but that's cool. But he did say that they've, quote, dusted off some of their analysis and looking at expansion. He says, certainly not to the point that expansion is on the front burner, but this is, I don't know if I said it here on Locked On NBA, expansion is on the table. Maybe it's not on the front burner, but it's on the stove because the league lost a ton of money. And one way to get that money back is to charge exorbitant expansion fees that some very, very rich people are going to be willing to pay and add two teams to the league to go from 30 to 32. And those expansion fees mitigate the losses from the pandemic. So, and he says, quote, we've been putting a little bit more time into it than we were pre-pandemic. He's admitting that the pandemic has stoked this kind of feeling. Like, hey, if we get a couple of guys to kick in a few billion dollars a piece, well, that just makes up for about what we lost, doesn't it? So I'm sure league owners right now, or excuse me, league governors, are sitting there saying like, yeah, let's look into this. Let's get some of this money back that we lost. And hey, why not? Why not? I think there is enough talent in the world. I think the league is in a good place. They could add two teams. I think that there are plenty of cities. Obviously, Seattle's at the top of the list, or at the top of fans' lists, maybe writers' lists. I don't know. But it's near the top if it's not at the top. And then you look around and say, you know, where can they add? Is Las Vegas in the mix? Do you put two teams out west and then shift a couple of teams from the west into the east? I mean, you can easily take the New Orleans Pelicans and move them east instead of having them in the west. You could probably, you could probably move the Memphis Grizzlies into the east. They're an up-and-coming team. Now you balance things out. You have the Grizzlies and the Pelicans who are on the come up and adding to the Eastern Conference, which is pretty top heavy. It's got a lot of good teams at the top. Then you add two crappy teams out west to make the West a little worse. And then you balance things out that way. So I think there's a market. I think there's a chance to expand. Now we can look at that. It's not on the front burner. I could take a closer look. At some point, there's going to be an expansion draft. It's not going to be on this team. It's not going to be on next year's team. But at some point, there will be an expansion draft, and you have to protect certain players, and somebody off the Celtics might get picked. But that's, you know, you might lose somebody that was decent in that exchange. But adding 30 guys who are NBA level that don't get the opportunity here, I think that's going to really help. I do think that's going to help. I think that's good for the league. I don't think you don't go too crazy with it. I think you can get away with it. The other thing he talked about was marijuana. And I thought this was really, really important, because marijuana being on the banned substance list, I think, is just silly. Considering that only 5 U.S. states have not changed their marijuana laws, everyone else has at the very least decriminalized. Most have gone beyond that and gone to at least medical and decriminalization. And I think, 13, 15 have fully legalized it, Massachusetts being one of them. You can go, there's billboards for going to buy weed. I can go say, oh, you know what? I'm going to get some weed tonight, and go drive down and go into a store and buy some and come back home and smoke it or eat it or whatever. You know, like, that's perfectly legal to do. So why, if the Celtics decide that they want to relax and have a smoke, why should that be illegal for them? You know, that's not fair. And the league basically acknowledging that, with Silver saying, I recognize that society's views around marijuana use have changed dramatically since these rules have been put in place. And in many ways, the suspension of random testing this season is a recognition of that. The league is not testing anymore. Now, there are issues here. Not every jurisdiction that these players are playing in decriminalized. Not everyone, or they all have different rules, different thresholds. Can you fly in with it? You know, what are the rules? And so he addressed that as well, saying if our players are traveling from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, from jurisdictions that do not have prohibitions to jurisdictions where there's still criminal penalties for possession and use of marijuana, we want to make sure we're not creating a trap for our players and putting in place rules that will put them in the crosshairs of the law. So that is also important. The league can't be like, yeah, go ahead, smoke, toke it up, whatever, we're cool. And then somebody gets busted and, well, the league says I can. And they say, well, nope, you can't over here in this city, whatever city you're in. So, and still federally, I know the House just passed a bill to change this, but federally it's illegal. So, but I think there have been a lot of players, Paul Pierce is one of them, that have talked about the medicinal value of marijuana. There are, and I've taken this, THC drops that help with inflammation. You know, I've got some chronic knee pain that is just going to be with me forever, because of my basketball days, and those drops have helped me. And that's a lot of people swear by this stuff. So medicinally, you could be taking stuff just for stuff, like I said, for inflammation. You could be taking it for anxiety. It's prescribed for a lot of different things. And if it's in your system, you know, you don't want to be dinged the next day. Like, You come home, it's been a stressful day, and especially in this pandemic world, which the commissioner admitted to, that's part of it, that this is a stressful time, anxiety-ridden time. You go home, you light one up, you get an edible, whatever. Why would the league then turn around and test the next day and be like, ah, we gotcha. Now, the league also does want to prevent abuse. Guys could go home and have wine. Plenty of these guys, like CJ McCollum. He does a wine thing. He has his podcast. He mentions wine in the podcast. These guys had wine shipped to them in the bubble. You can, if you're drinking like 2 bottles of wine a night, you got a problem. And they don't want that to be something like you that marijuana falls down that route. Now I'm not a marijuana user, but I know that it's not really an addictive thing. But some people, they have other reasons. It's a self-medication thing. So they're not necessarily addicted to the marijuana, but they're self-medicating to a point where it's abusing marijuana. And the league is conscious of that, and they don't want to go down that road either. But again, guys can have alcohol problems, and the league is kind of, they have a process in their treatment programs, but you're not going to test somebody for alcohol and penalize them. So I like that the league is not testing this year. And I think this year kind of serves as a bit of a roadmap for how the league is going to handle this moving forward. They just kind of want to see, I think, what are the side effects here of legalization here? What are the side effects of us not testing? Did anything happen? If nothing happened, then they'll probably just drop it. If something happened, I don't know what it would be, but if something happened, a legal issue, an abuse issue, then they would have to go back to the Players Association and say, okay, how do we address this and how do we move forward? But it's nice to see that these rules are changing. Now that the rules are changing, now let's go back and get all of these predominantly black men and women out of prison that are there for a very long time on marijuana charges. Now that it's legal, can we go back and change that now too? That's an aside. I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope you enjoy this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it enough to subscribe. If you're a new listener, if you're a regular listener, thanks for subscribing. Thanks for rating and reviewing, giving it 5 stars and giving it that good written review. It's awesome. You've made this show the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world. Awesome. Oh, buy my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. It's like $18 on Amazon. Go buy it. You can get it on Kindle. It's, I think, fun. A few people have told me that they like it so far. They're kind of going through it. And I picked 12 All-Stars from Boston Celtics history. And I have to leave some big names off the team. It's not a fun exercise, but I think it's a fun book. So please buy that. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.